Hello, creeps. It's me, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And thanks for listening to 8-Bit Geek.
Hey everyone, and welcome to 8-Bit Horror Fest with the 8-Bit Geek. All month long, we are taking our favorite horror films and rewatching them, and then re-reviewing them for your listening.
You're
listening.
We're off
to a great start this week, Jer.
Yeah. Can you just support me for once? We don't have to go with negativity. We could just be like, you know what, Jeremy? You're gonna get through this. Just keep on going, buddy. The finish line's almost there.
I support you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
We've recorded like 300 plus episodes at this point. You should have your shit together.
Sometimes my tongue does not work well with my brain, okay? Be sure to follow along all month long, as most can be found on Netflix, most of these films. You can also follow us on social media at the 8-Bit Geek. Chat it up with us. Let us know what you thought of the films. And of course, my name is Jeremy.
And I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And we have a special guest this week again.
Windress Cosplay is back.
Yes.
Yay.
You took last week off. We didn't get a chance to name drop you until the end of the episode.
Huh. Well, that's okay.
But we did give you your review score last week. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
I'm a huge fan of that movie, of Cabin in the Woods. So all I would have to have said was good things. Positive things.
And this week we are reviewing 13EN Ghosts.
Yeah. All right, smart Alec. It was clever before that became a thing, all right? It, like, 13 Ghosts predates Leet Speak, so give it some slack.
But does it predate 7? I feel like 7 did.
I don't know, actually.
No, 7 came out in the 90s.
Yeah. 13 Ghosts is 2001, yeah. I think.
Yep.
Yeah, 95. Seven did it first, 6 years before. Woo! We should watch that next week. Just kidding.
What most people don't know is that this movie was a prequel to Cabin in the Woods. This is how the ghosts got into the boxes.
Actually, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. The caging ghosts, it's a concept.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I saw this. Yeah. So when I was watching this, that's the first thing that I saw. I was like, wait a minute, this is a direct connection. What the hell?
Yeah.
Is there a theme going on that I didn't know about?
Yeah.
Next week we're gonna watch Cube.
Oh my god, that is a legitimately scary movie.
It is. Like, I told them a little bit about it during the Cabin in the Woods review. What it reminded me of, because that one section where all the monsters are being like transferred in boxes.
Yeah. The Cube is, I mean, the movies we see are self-aware and they've got plot and they've got some aspects that are great, but as far as like a effing scary movie, Cube is up there on my list. Can't watch it in a dark room, kind of scary. It's legitimate.
I'm trying to think if I've seen that or not.
I don't think I haven't seen it.
It came out like either the late 90s or early 2000s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Cube 2 came out in 2002. Hypercube.
Yeah. It
was. Oh, no, that's the...
Oh, shit, and Cube 0 in 2004.
What?
they sound like racer movies. They don't sound like horror films. They just, like, is that a new Fast and Furious? Cube Turbo.
Oh,
okay.
Cube. Drifting the Cube.
Drifting one last time.
Tokyo Cube.
That's a good one. So 13 Ghosts, overall, we'll go around and just say our overall view of the film. I haven't seen this movie in a long time. I didn't think I have ever seen it, but when I started watching it, I was like, oh yeah, I've definitely seen this film before. It's got like a 5.5 out of 10 on IMDb for its critic rating. Not everybody loved it. Not everybody hated it. Some people hold it in high regard. But for me, I was expecting something a little scarier. I did not. This was more of like a like a, I don't know, like maybe a mystery movie to me. It wasn't really a horror film. Like, it had some horrific deaths. Those were kind of cool. Well, actually, only one person really died.
Like, well, like three people died in the house.
In the house? I think. No, yeah. one. Hold on. There was was the lawyer.
The lawyer was sliced in half.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Matthew Lillard was broken in half.
That's true too. Okay, so that's two.
The chick was smushed in the door.
And the chick
was
smushed.
That wasn't done by a ghost. That was a human.
That's true. And then Cyrus. Died.
Once again,
Cyrus
another
chopped
human.
Into many bits.
Another.
Yeah.
Oh no! I guess he was.
Spoiler
taken.
Warning, by the way.
Yeah. Cyrus, this is true. We should probably say that.
Always should say that at the beginning. We always forget.
You haven't seen it.
But I also feel that this movie is like 15 years old.
Yeah, I think we've lifted that spoiler. That it's lifted.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But the thing about this movie, though, is a lot of people haven't seen it because it did get bad reviews. It has a fairly rotten rating on Rotten Tomatoes, unfortunately. And I think that a lot of people don't even give it a shot because it just kind of has this great reputation.
Going back and watching it and being fresh, like, a lot of the performances were pretty bad. Like, the acting was way over the top by Matthew Lillard. Like,
oh, come on. That's Matthew.
I was just saying, that's Matthew Lillard, though.
Yeah, I know, but like, he's just like, he's like drooling from the mouth and he's screaming at every scene. And I just.
Every Matthew Lillard movie.
Well, he's assaulted by visions. I think he's never. I don't know. I am sympathetic to the character of Dennis because he has not had an easy life, you can tell. And at one point he says that Cyrus was his friend, and you realize this guy probably hasn't had any friends, you know, and everybody he touches he ends up alienating because he sees way too much about their lives, right. You know, and I don't know. I'm going to be the one that defends this movie a lot, probably. Mm-hmm. And it's because I've spent a lot of time with it. I've seen it many times, and I've read a lot about it. There's a lot of things in the movie that people will never know about unless they take the time to either read up on it or watch all of the extended stuff.
The one thing that I really did not know about was this Black Zodiac. Now, in the book, I mean, in the movie, you know, it's kind of fictional, but there is really a Black Zodiac, which I was not really, I really have not read up on this at all. Like, I guess I was sheltered from this, but I did not know there was an evil Zodiac for you.
That's I mean, they use the exact concept of the Black Zodiac in the movie. It's a true thing, you know, but they sort of invent what the placeholders could be for it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very, I don't know, like, that's what I find is interesting, is no other movie, past or present or future, as far as I know, has taken the concept of the Black Zodiac and pulled it into a movie. You know, they'll take demonic stuff, but I don't know. I was a little bit obsessed with this at one point when this movie first came out because I thought that the story, this movie watches like a story should read. I think I actually think if it had been a book, it probably would have had much more success than the movie itself did. You know, and I don't think it was a book before. So, for those who haven't seen it. This movie concept is this house has been built as a mechanism to be powered by 13 ghosts, all representing members of the Black Zodiac. So, and each one of them is equally gruesome and horrifying in their own way.
Technically 12.
True.
Well, 12,
you know.
But you need that 13th.
The 13th was
the
fail safe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that was a lie. It's fail safe. It's the catalyst. It's what actually makes the machine work.
And for the devil to have. Ultimate power,
right? And actually, there is one other non-vengeful ghost. That's the Withered Lover. That would be Tony Shalhoub's character's wife in the movie. Yep.
Tony Shalhoub was an asshole dad in this movie.
Let's remember he
is traumatized. in the beginning of the film, that dude was straight up like, "Oh, my kid can say whatever." Like, they're talking about sluts and bitches, and like in the beginning, I was just like. What is happening? Why is this happening? And then he's like giggling when the son is talking about it. And then I was like, okay, it's a different character by the end of the movie. Like, he's a complete like, my kids.
Well, I think it's meant to show how changed he had become from this wholesome image of this completed family to sort of the broken remains of what they were after the wife died. You know,
I had some flashbacks when he was like, don't leave your fucking shit all over the house. I was like, okay, Mom.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant like you're having flashbacks to earlier that day. You yelled at home at your son.
That's just mean. Didn't happen.
I don't know. I could see why he was kind of a dick to his kids, because his kids were fucking assholes. I couldn't stand. I'm sorry. That, and this is one of those horror tropes that I've been over since probably 2001, is having children in the movie that are complete fuckwits, and they just, they are usually the ones that start the problem in the movie. Yeah. And they play fucking dumb. Excuse my language. Well, no, this is pretty standard.
His passion. No, it's just when his passion hits.
I couldn't stand that kid. And,
well,
and once
the
again,
kids
even...
do the exact opposite, right, of everything they're told to do. So
exactly.
Don't leave this spot. Okay.
Scatter. Yeah.
Well,
let me get on my scooter.
I mean, the thing that Kevin doesn't understand here is that that's what happens with the kids. Like, they will scatter. Like, hey, please stay here and don't do this, okay? Well, fuck you. I'm going to do it. That's what kids are, they do. I mean, that's why
I don't know. I don't want to pull the old man card, but I never did that when I was a kid. If you told me to stay somewhere, I'm like, I don't want to get in trouble. I'll just chill right here. Then maybe fall asleep in the area or something like that.
Well, you were one of the good ones then, because most kids don't fucking do that.
I didn't want an ass whooping. That's all.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in a haunted house, the last thing I want to do is go, hey, let's go exploring. Oh, there's
I don't know. He also kind of hurt his mom, you know, and he's like, oh, well, that's my mom. I got to go.
Thought it was his sister, though. Like, the sister, like somebody was voicing like the sister telling him to come downstairs. The mom was telling him to go back upstairs. So it was like a back and forth. Of course, he only listened to like one of the voices. So he's like, huh, let's go explore this.
He's an adventurer. What are you going to do?
Yeah. I wish they'd break that trope and just kill the kids off early. There you go.
All right, well, they started the plot. Time to kill them off now. We're good.
Yeah, he could be the first blood. There you go, you know. I'm used to watching slasher movies where, you know, somebody's going to die.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go with Kevin now since we're hearing your kind of view of it. Overall, what did you think of the film?
I mean, I thought it was a great film. I remember seeing it in theaters in 2001, and I really haven't revisited it until today. It was a fine film. I really liked the makeup direction. It was done by Greg Nicotero, which did, you know, he does Walking Dead. He also does the From Dusk Till Dawn series. He did the movies. He's done a ton of stuff. And
I'll agree with you on that. Like, the monsters.
Yeah, the visuals are great in this movie.
Yeah,
the
they're unbelievable.
The designs were really good. Like, very realistic and so cool. The jackal.
And they hold up to today. Like, you know, 15 years later, they still look creepy as shit.
Well, that's because practical makeup will hold up throughout time. Like, it's just when you use CGI, the only movie that truly holds up with CGI from back in the day is Jurassic Park.
True.
Yeah, but that was still a lot of animatronics, though, too.
Yeah. So, a quick round. Which ghost was the creepiest to you? I want to know.
I want to say
jackal.
The jackal.
Really?
Which one was the jackal?
The one with
the
cage
on the head.
Cage on the head.
Oh, okay. The one that was
scratching.
Because that's just like you put a woman with that on the head. And then there's just something terrifying.
That's not a woman. That's a man.
Yeah.
You put a man with that on his head, and then he's running at me and screaming and looking like a woman, and then I'm already confused. And then, like, no.
Although the mother and child were also
that's the creepiest one. The dire mother and the great child are the creepiest ones.
That's true too.
Yeah.
Although the child is also the actual child. What's his name? What's he called? The Torn Prince? No.
No, Torn Prince was the rebel without a cause looking dude.
Right. The firstborn son, the kid with the arrow through his head.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And he would always appear sideways. Right? Remember when they would see him, he was not on the floor.
Right.
Upright. he creeped me out too. But yeah, the great child and the dire mother were easily, to me, the creepiest ghost combo. The Juggernaut is pretty creepy too, I'd say.
Yeah.
And fun fact, that's played by John DeSantis, who is well known in the horror universe. He's 6'9", so he plays a lot of monsters. And he was Lurch in the new Addams Family series, the TV series.
That's why you look so familiar. Okay.
Yeah.
And he was the 12th ghost. He was the last one to get loose, right?
He was the last one, yeah.
Oh, he got loose.
He's the one that killed Dennis, Matthew Lillard. snapping him in half.
Poor Dennis.
The creepiest one for me was still the dude with all the nails through him, like the railroad nails. The hammer.
Yeah.
That dude was pretty badass. Like, I would say that was the creepiest looking one.
He was creepy.
I'm sitting here on IMDb reading through a lot of their the backstories for the characters that we never.
They're great.
So yeah, they're awesome. But yeah, you don't really learn about any of this stuff in the movie. But I guess it's all in the special edition of the DVD or something.
You could really make a separate solo film for each one of those monsters, ghosts. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, almost all of their stories are pretty intense, you know, because the idea is that they all died by such violent and extreme means that they are trapped in a constant cycle of violence themselves, and that's the only thing they know anymore, you know. The firstborn son is, like, apparently his neighbor invited him, he loved cowboys and Indians, and he had a toy gun, and his neighbor said, let's play, let's have a duel, and he shot him with a real arrow. Like, that, I mean, and I'm like, what happened after that? Like, this guy sadistically shot a child with an arrow, you know, in a play.
Well, was it intentional?
It says
a neighbor found a real steel arrow in his parents' closet. He challenged Billy to a duel when Billy using a toy gun. However, his plaything was no match for the arrow, and he died when the neighbor shot him through the... Well, he shot through the back of the head, but he shot through the back of the head. So,
yeah.
And they make it sound like that, but it was like another kid.
Seems malicious. Well, it could be, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was probably another kid, yeah. That kid.
The hammer is good, too, because the hammer's the one where it was a blacksmith. They wanted to drive him out of town, and they hung his children and his wife. And so he killed the people that did that, and then they tied him to a tree, drove railroad spikes through his entire body, and cut off his hand and attached his hammer to his hand. Yeah.
Can you imagine that scene in a film?
No.
Ooh,
no.
Jesus. Oh, that's.
So in a way, perhaps the Black Zodiac characters are more interesting than the film that they are taking place in.
100% agree with that.
Yeah.
But it's a shame that the movie doesn't highlight them more.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Because that's what we want to see, not necessarily these people arguing over the mechanism of the house, right? Or
yeah, like they were just walking through the house. Like they spent half the movie just fucking like, oh look, a bathroom. That's cool. That's neat. Oh, look.
That was a full setup to show the angry princess, right?
Uh-huh.
And the bloody, yeah.
At that, okay, so that one right there, that scene began to terrify me a little bit, because I was just like, oh my god, that was the only part where I got unsettled, and I was like, oh shit, she's gonna fucking die, and this is too creepy. And that's the only time I really got scared during the movie, and or began to get scared, and then the payoff was just, it wasn't there.
Well, yeah. And like, I'm trying to figure out why that chick just like, why she was looking at her like, what are you doing in my tub, like, well, she can't see you. You should know this, but it was literally just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, this is...
What are you doing?
This is my murder scene.
It made me wonder how they pick and choose who they kill. Because, for example, that's the angry princess. She kills herself after botching up plastic surgery. Because she becomes obsessed with plastic surgery and ends up trying to do it to herself and blinds herself and, like, disfigures herself. And so she ends up committing suicide, which is different from most of these other ones. It's not as violent of a way to die, because she's self-inflicted, I suppose, so it's intentional. She knew it was coming, right? So I don't know, but it makes me wonder how she picks and chooses who she attacks, because I don't think I saw her attack a woman in the entire film, and maybe her rage is directed specifically at men. I don't know.
Makes sense. I mean, why else is she getting pretty, right? The thing, I thought maybe this movie would have been great as a, like, I know it's leaning more towards Ghostbusters, but I would have watched this film if all they did was hunt down the 13 ghosts. And, like, because that opening scene was like, oh shit, we're gonna see some brutal shit in this movie, you know, like a man gets fucking put in, just crunched in half and slid
in half.
Folded in half. Went into the trunk of a car.
Drug into the trunk, right?
So I was expecting, I was just like, oh, this is going to be legit. I would have liked to have seen that movie. I know that there would be too many comparisons to, like, oh, well, they're just hunting ghosts. But That was a pretty cool concept, them going into that giant
box.
But
way darker than Ghostbusters.
But way darker, yeah.
It would have been cool as a TV series that way. You could have hunted a ghost per episode.
Yeah, kind of like kind of do like nowadays on FX with the Ash versus Evil Dead kind of style, where you can get away with language and all that bloodiness and penises. Like last week's episode was he was
spoiler.
Oh. I haven't seen it yet. Are you saying we get to see Bruce Campbell's penis?
You get to see some penis. Let me tell you.
I mean. We have to. Or
yeah. Oh, it's listen,
basically they do the
it's a treat
thing where they tape your eyes open so you can't avoid it.
It's a treat. Just you're gonna love it. Just wait.
Clockwork Orange. Oh, that's what I was thinking of.
Speaking of Ash versus the Evil Dead, Kalinda in this movie is Sheila from Army of Darkness. Same girl. Same lady.
Oh, really?
Really? You know, I was trying to see. To me, she looked like she was Anya from Buffy, and then I kind of like, I guess it was. I realized it wasn't. Her name is Embeth Davids.
Yeah. She's also in Schindler's List, I think. Like that's what sort of her big notoriety movie. But, but I know her as Sheila, the maid, in.
That's just
in
pillow talk.
Yeah. So. interesting how she also, what else do I know her from? She's in a few movies, but that's kind of the big one for me.
Totally.
Which person? Who?
Sheila.
In the movie, or if you're thinking 13 Ghosts, she was,
she's the one trying to free them, but ends up being the Kalina.
Gotcha. She's like the warrior. That was kind of, I don't know, I thought I kind of wrote that off when she was like, oh, I slipped in when the house was changing. I was like, that's kind of.
And then you realize, although kissing that guy, like he's like way older than her. What was that? I mean,
listen, nobody says an unkind word about F. Murray Abraham.
To be fair, I do love F. Murray Abraham. Like Amadeus. I'm sorry, he's brilliant in Amadeus. I mean, the guy's great. So, but as a woman who is only a little, well, I'm younger than, I guess, Embeth, but she's significantly younger than him, and I don't see why she would want to kiss him. I don't see that chemistry.
There's a lot of women who love power and older men, you know?
Yeah, this dude's opening up this thing to become like the most powerful man in the world.
She's like, Oculus. Apparently. And she is moist for that.
Oh, God.
Okay? Sure. Everybody's weird in this movie, okay? Everybody's got a weird kink.
Yeah.
And Rod Digga was in this movie, too, which excited me a little bit.
Right. Well, and so that is the one problem I have with I'm willing to admit that this movie almost has so much plot that it gets in its own way. Yeah. In that regard, you know, because you can't come to this movie looking for scares, because it's going to be more like, let's think deeply about what's going on in this plot instead. Mm-hmm. But I do have a serious issue with Rod Digga being in the movie as sort of the token black woman who only has one-liners that are comedic one-liners.
Well, not only that, but she ended up being the DJ, too.
That was
the
terrible.
Ending credits was also her song. She was
I was going to say, I bet they were like, hey, we need a hip hop star for the soundtrack, and she was like, "I'll do the soundtrack. Just put me in the movie." And they're like,
"Well, we do need to get the black community in here." So, we'll write you.
During a time, there was a lot of hip hop stars in horror movies. You had like LL Cool J and H20, which was the Halloween H2O or whatever. You had Busta Rhymes in the next Halloween movie, which is horrible, by the way. Michael Myers taking shotgun shots. Practically blowing up, but then all of a sudden Busta Rhymes does some shitty kickboxing on him and he's dead. So,
It's Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, I guess so. Busta Rhymes!
Busta ass!
I wonder if this was like a union thing, because Rod Digga was in Busta Rhymes' like rap group, wasn't she? Like, for years. They were all kind of the same.
I don't know.
What was the name of that group? Flip Mode Squad.
Flip Mode Squad. I don't know.
Yeah. She was in it. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of and then the only one that did it right was Freddy versus Jason. You had the chick from Destiny's Child. Can't think of her name now.
The skinny one.
I was gonna say not Beyonce.
No, it's the one with the short hair.
That doesn't help. I don't even remember the other two.
What year was her hair short? Hold on.
It was 98, I think it was 98.
Oh, that was totally... I'm just kidding.
It was Kelly Rowland. Rowland.
Kelly Rowland.
And she was... I was going to say it.
Oh, my God. Her hair was on fleek.
Okay. But Kelly Rowland was fantastic in Freddy vs. Jason. And she did what most of the rare actors or hip-hop actors or even R&B actors to be in a horror movie, they, for some reason, it must be in someone's contract to where they always survive. She died one of the coolest deaths in that movie.
Which one was hers? It was outside.
That's the one she got thrown into a tree and it smashed up against it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen Freddy vs. Jason because I felt like it was too much. I'm sorry. But I'm like, there were so many bad Halloween movies and there were so many bad Jason movie, and
I've even seen that.
It was pretty good.
It was good.
And they had,
it was in
the early days of comic book crossovers. It felt like that where, I liked it a lot. I saw it in theaters. I'll still watch it today. It's no Jason X, but it'll be fine.
Oh my God, I love Jason X.
Jason X.
Seriously watch that for next week's show. Like
Jason X.
We've had Like we should just do a slasher one. Just make it a Jason X and get done with it and be like,
too many movies. You still want to watch?
Yeah, we still have a lot of.
We've got 1 week left, boys.
Windrus, have you seen Jason X?
I have two.
No.
That's another one, surprisingly.
Is that the one in space?
That's what I'm saying. Oh, hear me out here.
This is why I didn't see it.
Hear me,
space.
Hear me out.
Suspend all disbelief. And
I'm sure I do.
Suspend all belief, I guess. I don't know what the proper saying of that is. But
It's suspended disbelief.
There you go. Do that. And I'll have to say, Jason X had some of the most creative kills in any of the Jason films. If you ask any, all these hardcore Jason fans, what some of their most favorite kills are in the series, it usually ends up some of them being from Jason X.
What about
the sleeping bag against the tree?
Right. Yeah. That was classic.
All right, I'm down. I didn't think I was gonna like My Bloody Valentine 3D, but I ended up loving that movie. So
that movie was not bad. Yeah, I watched that later on after the fact and it was pretty good.
I went ahead and watched it because of Jensen Ackles, I have a lot of affection for that Texas man. So, and it was great. He's also the voice of Jason Todd in Batman Under the Red Hood.
Oh, awesome. That was a great, great movie.
It was a good animated piece. Yeah.
There is one movie that I gotta say, you gotta watch. What is it called? I think it's The Mist. Spectacular.
Are you talking about the original or the remake?
The remake, with Tom Welling.
Yes, that is a good movie.
The Fog?
I mean, Tom Welling, The Fog. Not a great actor, but definitely a good movie. I'm sorry, but I mean, he's cute. He's all right in young Clark Kent or whatever, but not a great actor.
If we're going on recommendations one more time, this week I recommended it to – Doug's seen it, but Jeremy hasn't. It was called Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. And it is a kind of sort of mockumentary on slashers. And it's this college crew that are filming this guy who's saying he's going to commit a serial massacre, just like, Freddy and Jason and all that stuff. And they kind of follow him and see what his steps are that leads up to it. And then toward the end, they were like, we probably got to stop this guy. This is really going to happen. And it turns into a horror movie. It's really good. And there's a lot of this came out in the early to mid 2000s. There was a lot of horror cameos in it, as well as our good friend Scott Wilson was in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, cool. My best friend.
Yeah. Doug's best friend. They're Doug's BFFs. Best friends. They talk to each other on the phone every night.
Cool. I got to make sure that he's going to get a good night's sleep before he goes to, hey, man, make sure you're nice and tucked. Did you get that warm glass of milk?
And he's like, he always ends it with, Doug, you're my best friend.
He does. And it brings a tear to my eye. And it's sweet. In fact, we need to wrap this up pretty soon because I feel like it's getting close to 9. He's going to go to bed. So.
Do you guys want to tell that story?
You can tell. You're fine.
Yeah, so it was at the Comic Palooza that we met you at. And Scott Wilson was there signing autographs.
Incorrect. We were at Dallas.
Comic Palooza?
Yeah, wasn't Comic Palooza.
Alamo City Comic Con. I'm sorry. The first one we met you at. And we were taking pictures, and we had our media badges, and we weren't sure our boundaries. So we went up and Doug had to ask
Every con is different. Some cons you got a press badge, you can go anywhere and do anything. Some other conventions, like, you're just another attendee who can get into panels first. Like, that's pretty much the difference. And so we had one, like, Comicpalooza is like, here's what you can do, here's what you can't do, here's a whole thing about it, blah blah blah. Dallas Comic Con is like, do you need a press buddy? They'll take you where you need to go. Alamo City, we're like, we don't know what we can do. So yeah, continue, right.
Yeah, so me and Jeremy are standing off in the back. I think Nick was too, because mm-hmm. we were all just standing, like, you know, maybe 50 feet away, and Doug had to go up to Scott's handler.
Let me say this. Doug is very bullish when it comes to approaching people. He doesn't want to do it, and he was like, Jeremy, go. Just take my camera and go get a few shots. And I go, no, Doug, go do this. You need to go do this. And he's like, no, I'm not. I don't know. And so it took a little bit, but he went and did it. Continue, Kev.
So he went to go talk to Scott's handler, and the handler, like, as he's talking to the handler, Scott's like, oh, you guys need some pictures? All right, cool. And he gets up from signing pictures and just starts posing for Doug and just, like, you know, talking to him. And
Doug's like, oh, no. There was no interaction. Doug was speechless.
That's not entirely true.
He got out.
He was like, what do you need? And I was like, I just gotta get some pictures and Aww. Stuff. I just if you what sign nice and stuff. Man. And he was like, oh, how about my background? How's this?
Like, yeah. Like, he was completely good. Cooperative. Like, mm-hmm. super, super nice guy. Then just Doug comes back white like a ghost.
And he's like, Aww. I was like, did you get it?
They're like, all they see is, like, from, like, 100 people back, just, like, people coming and talking to me, and then, like, him getting up and coming and talking to me, and then they're like, what the hell happened? And I was just...
We have that on audio, too. Yeah, I'm sure.
We have that.
I remember Doug walking back, and he was just like, yeah, we're good friends now. We're going to hang out with him after the bar.
That's awesome. That's how I feel about Doug Jones, actor who plays Abe Sapien in Hellboy, and Billy Butcherson in Hocus Pocus, another favorite Halloween movie, by the way.
We did a review of that. Brainberry and myself did a review of that. It's on our main channel.
It is such a fun movie. Like, kids can enjoy it. It's such a great little Halloween mm-hmm. flick, and it's got a song in it. Anyway, but Doug is the same way. He'll hug you, and he'll, you know, like, he wanted to take lots of photos. I have a ton of photos on my phone now because Doug was like, let's take some more photos, you know? And I was dressed as Elektra when I met him, and he thought I was just the best thing ever. He was so excited.
That's awesome.
Super nice guy. I wanted to hear all about his prosthetics and stuff that he wears, too, and he told me all about being Abe, which is one of my favorite characters. Like, Abe, his comic book series is great. So if you like Hellboy and you like Abe Sapien, there's a great comic series out there just about Abe and his background.
Can they make another Hellboy, please? Like, can they finally finish it?
Before Ron Perlman dies.
Seriously.
No, he's got a while.
He told me all about when he, you know, he's the ice cream man in Legion, that movie with Paul Bettany where it's like angels are coming down.
Mm-hmm. I like that movie a lot.
He's super, yeah, and his ice cream guy is like super creepy, and it's not very much CGI. They put like fake legs on him to make him look like spider legs and stuff. Mm-hmm. He told me all these stories. He said it was really fun. So he's another one like that. Like, he'll talk to you all day long if you let him. You know, and his line gets super long waiting, but they don't seem to begrudge him that because he's such a nice person. Because
everybody gets a moment instead of like being cattle, being poked along. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's tough.
I met him a couple of years ago at a convention, AllCon in Dallas, about 2 years ago, because Nick and I went because there was like a small film from San Antonio, Now Hiring. They were there, and we were mm-hmm. friends with them, and we wanted to go interview them about a story we were working on at the time. And so we went and talked to them, and then Camden Toy was there.
Yes.
Who's in the movie. He was there with them, and then he was right next to Doug Jones, which they were both in Buffy together as the gentleman. And we're talking with Camden Toy, who we kind of got to know him a little bit through this whole like short film stuff. So we're talking with him, and he was like, oh, have you met Doug Jones? Like, hi. How's it going?
Yeah.
I like everything you're in.
Yeah, every single thing.
Every single thing.
I don't blame you for Fantastic Four Silver Surfer. It wasn't your fault.
Yeah. And you just showed up one day on like on a set and a in a suit and then on a, like a giant green screen. He just did some stuff and then
yeah,
you were
I
done.
Mean, that's
it.
You were
like,
done.
That's all you did.
He didn't know. That one they had to actually strap him. They had cables on his hips so he could lean forward that far as Silver Surfer and look and still remain upright. And he said he was in the harness for hours. So it was not kind to his junk, apparently.
No.
That's how good of friends Doug and I are.
In the review of Hocus Pocus, we actually talk about I asked them, Debbie to watch the show Fear Itself.
Ooh,
I don't know
yeah.
if you've watched it, Fear Itself, because he yeah. did the episode with the Wendigo, where he becomes like a Wendigo. That's and right. it I was like, I that. It's a great role for him. And of course, he's also on like Arrow and stuff this like last season.
Yeah.
Last season before. Or Flash? Shit, what show was he on? Flash?
Well,
he's a dude that shoots lasers from his eyes. Like, and then his face gets like, I think, frozen off or something.
Flash?
Yeah.
I think Flash?
Forget. I think it's Flash. Because that's the one where they're busting all
he's
the people
Deathbolt.
Out of.
He's Deathbolt.
Deathbolt.
Right.
Yeah.
Deathbolt.
With the TH. Deathbolt. Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah.
You'll be dead from his Deathbolt.
Yeah.
We're
talking about all this.
He flies under the radar. Like, that's the thing is people are like, who is this guy? Is he famous? I'm like, he's in everything you love. That yeah. just take it for granted. You know? Outer Limits. He was on the Weird Al Yankovic show. I mean, young Indiana Jones. He's in everything. I mean, he's been on everything. And he's in a bunch of movies, and you just don't even know until you go and look him up and go, oh, wow.
Yeah, that guy,
Pan's
oh,
Labyrinth. He was the Pale yep. Man and the Fawn. You know? And, yeah, I mean, he's in Doom. That's right. He was in Doom. One of my favorite movies.
Oh, man.
You talking Doom with the Rock?
Carl Urban.
Yeah, we talked about this last time, remember? Yeah.
I don't remember Carl it being Urban. Her favorite.
Yeah, well, she didn't have favorites.
I have a lot of
there.
Favorites. I have a lot of favorites. Because I have a lot of genres that I have as favorites. So, no, yeah. that movie is great. I think, again, I like the underdogs, and I feel like that movie was really good. And I do like The Rock a lot, actually.
Oh,
he's
love
a very
the
funny
Rock.
Guy.
I loved him in his latest movie with fucking, what's his name? Little short guy.
Kevin Hart.
Central Intelligence.
Yeah, Central Intelligence.
So funny.
The Rock really showed off his comedic chops in that film. So funny.
Dude, have you seen Not Get Shorty? What was the other? Stay cool. Be cool. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He's
cool.
Hysterical. Be cool. He's hysterical.
Is it Be Cool?
Yeah. It's like the sequel to Get Shorty, right?
Yes.
And he is a gay bodyguard. And mm-hmm. he makes a music video singing a Tanya Tucker song, I think.
Yep.
And like a little cowboy hat. It's so funny. And that was years ago.
Yeah.
There
and
was
that
a...
showed his that when I saw it with that and I was like, he's an actor. He could do this.
Well, yeah. he was in a movie with Mark Wahlberg and movie was it? It was the one with him in the Dildo Factory.
Pain and Gain.
Was that it? Yeah, Pain and Gain. Yeah.
That movie was batshit insane.
That was, but he was hilarious in it. Like, he's just outside, like, I'm just going to fucking
barbecue
the fucking body parts. Like, I was like, this guy is so funny. I was like,
what
is The
it?
Rock
no,
is so
he's
funny.
He's got a great line, and he's like, God has given me many gifts, and one of them is to knock you the fuck out.
Yeah.
But that movie just kept spiraling. I'm like, this movie is literally insane. Like, I keep thinking it's going to stop, right? And it just kept going.
And I can't believe it's based on a true story either. Like, it's so insane. Anyways. Back to 13 Ghosts.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Sorry.
We took a train. We didn't go
off the rails.
We didn't go off the rails. We just went out of the country.
Very true.
Okay, so let's do a quick favorite parts and least favorite parts.
Oh, no,
film.
It's 9:05. Scott's going to be wondering where my call is.
Oh, well, Doug's got to go. All right, Doug, what was your favorite part of this film?
My favorite part of the film was the lawyer getting cut in half by the door.
Oh,
it's an effect I remember from the first time I watched it, and I was really excited to see it happen again.
It was.
I
like,
just
don't
want to
watch. You're like, oh,
they
it
lasted so long. Like,
and it happened so early in the movie. That's what I forgot. I was like, I thought it was like, it seems like such a later death because it's so fucking gruesome. But no, it's like the first one. Just,
I think that's
done.
One of the first. Like, you know that there's always that one character lawyer type that you always is like, this motherfucker needs to die, and then it doesn't happen until the end of the movie. This one gives it to you right up front, and you're just like, satisfied.
Now, hold on, real quick question, because we were talking about Oh shit! What was her name? The one, the she played like the nanny.
Rodiga.
Yeah. Like I because of her role in the movie and like how the character was, I was like, this is, they're gonna kill her. Like this she's gonna die in this movie. Like there's no way that this character is gonna make it out of this house. So I was like on edge waiting for her character to eat it. And like,
she actually
when it
saves them all, though, doesn't she? Mm-hmm. She disturbs the process,
which is fine. But it's like, even doing that, I was like, man, she's gonna also fucking die because she's so loud and annoying. Kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I really thought that was gonna happen.
Quick question.
That's my favorite part. It's just that's how I felt.
Jeremy has his hand in the air.
Quick question. How does that family survive that explosion? Seeing that they're on a. They're on top of the device.
Oh, now you want to poke holes in the plot? Okay.
They're on top of the device that completely blows up.
Yeah.
It's the power of love, Jared. Did Harry Potter teach you nothing?
I was like, is that platform floating now? Like, what is happening?
There is a lot of questions. It was a load-bearing platform, okay?
They just had to build the machine around it.
And I have to wonder, why did Tony Shalhoub need, like, the... So Matthew Lee, Dennis's ghost is like, go to your family. And it's like, why though? Like, what was the point of going to the family
right,
at that
moment? Right. Like, why? It just explode. Would he have died, I guess, from the explosion?
I guess so.
I don't know. Yeah. It's weird. And then, like, why would Matthew Lillard
because
need
she
to.
She lived in the fucking control room.
Yeah, and that completely blew up. And then somehow.
Right next to her.
She found the stairs and everything. She's like, well, let me see how to get out of this maze.
And then she's like, I'm quitting.
God.
And then why does Matthew Lillard need to clean off his dead glasses?
Hey, now.
He's a ghost. He's got ghost glasses. He's sitting there like, well, this is my prop, I guess. I'm going to clean these off real quick.
I like that little moment of him there as a non-vengeful ghost, you know? Because he died quite violently, too. But chose not to be a vengeful ghost. So, I don't know. I liked, that was actually one of my favorite moments in the movie is when he sort of, because he did all this bad. The character of Dennis did a lot of bad things leading up to this movie. And he's literally the reason that Cyrus was able to capture these ghosts because he had visions and he had the psychic powers and stuff. And he's sort of just trying to save his own skin most of the movie. But then he does this truly selfless thing by saving Tony Shalhoub's character, Arthur, you know, and knowing that there was no escape for him, you know, and I don't know. I think that that sort of was a nice final redemption of that character.
Why it's kind of, but that kind of brings up this question I have. It's kind of like the old Titanic door question.
Why is there only room behind the glass for one?
When clearly they both were behind the glass when they were getting beat up on prior to that scene. And like they pushed the ghost and killed the, or somehow maybe killed the ghost. I don't think they did, but made the ghost disappear by smashing it in between a wall. And then I'm like, now there's only room for one? Like, come on, Rose.
I don't know. It's Dennis who says that and shoves Arthur. Like, Arthur's trying to break out from behind it to help him.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's wedged it in there nice and tight or something. I don't know. Whatever.
stop doing this, Jeremy. Stop it.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have liked for... But I think because of that character's story, I do think he had to die, you know, to be not totally hateable by the end of the movie. And I don't know. I feel bad for that character because he clearly has not had an easy time of it most of his life, you know. And
Well, what was your favorite? What was your favorite moment?
Me?
Yeah.
I would say the creepy moments are usually my favorites. You know, I really liked facing off with one of the. The child is one of my creepy... The firstborn son is one of my creepy top ones. So when they're facing off with him, I think it's really good moments because there's a lot of suspense there and you don't know what he would be capable of. Some of the characters are large and intimidating and they're scratching and they're biting and throwing things, throwing people around. You don't know what that kid would actually do.
But we don't get to see it either, which kind of sucks.
True. You don't really get to see what he ends up being capable of. So those are some of my favorite. The creepy moments are some of my favorite moments.
Kev?
But honestly, that redemption moment for Dennis, too, I like that. Because plot.
Yeah.
Plot reasons.
Kev, what was your favorite moment?
Like I said, I going back to it, I love the monster design. Particular moments, I would say... I loved the art of the not the art, but the way the effects that were used when they cut the lawyer in half, because I thought that was cool. I love that, you know, like going back to even Resident Evil 1 in theaters when they did the cubes or they sliced the guy into cubes. Like I loved seeing stuff like that where they're kind of even going back even further to Cell, you know, with Jennifer Lopez and the horse. You know, I feel bad for the horse, but it was amazing to see like, and then everything split apart.
That's another one that I'm up there with the cube. Like,
It's pretty messed up. Vincent D'Onofrio, by the way. Have fun with that one. He's got hooks in his back.
I don't want to think about it.
And I don't know. I just like that the way that scene played out. But one thing I hated was the next part of that was Rod Digga's one-liner. What happened to the lawyer? He split.
I love that. I love that line. That was so good.
One of those. I feel like this is like where the around this time is where kind of the movies took a split. where you used to have these like great phenomenal one-liners and like wit about them, because then not long after that, not long after this like Scary Movie started coming out. I feel around this time, maybe a little bit before this, but like I feel like that kind of took away from like the being able to have like a lot of humor and stuff in the scary movies, because it's like I don't know, not that they ruined it, because those movies are funny, but it was nice to have that one. Like, that was so fucking funny. That was good.
Yeah.
My favorite was probably the opening scenes where you get to that. That's where it was my favorite. It was my favorite sequence. It was just this crazy ghost going after everybody. Everyone's running, and then you get the one guy who gets trapped in the box with the ghost, and you're just like, fuck. You see the true power of like ghost. So I like that a lot. Let's run through our least favorite and then we'll score it. So we'll start with Kevin on this one. Least favorite moment.
Once again, any scene that the kid was in, like Bobby or whatever, I couldn't stand him. Like I said, he was just the stereotypical horror trope of just like being a really loud and obnoxious kid and doing everything that they're saying not to do. And they're chalking it off as, well, he's a kid. I'm like, please kill him.
Wow.
I am completely fine with that.
Kevin is never having a child.
Well, I feel like they could have waylaid a lot of that if they had just taken the time to actually give him character. Like, they didn't build him at all. Like, he's obsessed. He is obsessed with death in the wake of his mother's death. Like, I mean, I feel like that's like, important detail.
Nobody's okay. Everyone's just okay with that, too. Like, the dad's like, haha. Oh, it's called the kid's like, and suicide is on an all-time high. If my kid said that, if I found that recording, I'd be like, we have to go to counseling.
Therapy. Like, it's time to go to therapy right now.
But they just
first we're
going
to go visit a priest. Just to make sure. Then we're going to go to therapy.
But they're just like, oh, well, there's Billy. Just being Billy. Oh,
Billy. It's only been 5 months.
Hey, Billy or Bobby?
Oh, Bobby. Bobby. Bobby Billy.
I'm just making sure.
Billy's his middle name. Oh, there goes Bob Billy. Billy. Bob Billy.
Billy Bobby.
Bob Billy. Bob Billy. Billy Bob. Doug, least favorite?
My least favorite part... I guess was the not getting the backstory for all these ghosts and stuff. Yeah. Like the most interesting part of the movie being not the focus, but the focus being Tony Shalhoub being a dickhole asshole, not a good dad.
That's probably mine too.
I don't know.
That's my least favorite. I was just like, because it didn't really. I know they're trying to do, like Winder said, they're trying to show like he's still grieving, but it just came off in a different way for me, and I was just like, this guy. I mean, and then it's just like a stark contrast to what we end up seeing, and like, well, so
I agree with that.
A lot of it is rushed like those those relationships are rushed so quickly to get to sort of where the action starts to happen that you don't really understand what the dynamic in that family is. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just, he's dictating, the kids are unruly. There's not a lot of depth in any of that. It's sort of what a family would look like after the death of the mother, who I guess was holding everything together and keeping a level of civility, because they're living in squalor in the wake of that fire, you know. And I get that houses burn down and people lose everything, and then you have this grief also, but they don't take the time to really show that. I think it's, you just have to assume it. You have to walk in.
I would have loved for Cyrus to admit that he started the fire. Like, that would have been
awesome. That's implied too. I think he orchestrated her death.
Yeah. Like, I thought I really was like, this motherfucker was behind the fire, but that never came out. And I really thought that would have helped things along too. I thought that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get a lot of note of the intelligence level of Tony Shalhoub's character until that moment when he figures out that Cyrus isn't actually a ghost. You know, he's painted himself up to look like one, but no, he's not actually a ghost. Yeah.
Windrus, what was your
ass?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Least favorite part, Windrus?
Nothing. No, I do. I mean, I'm not saying this movie's without faults. I just think that it didn't deserve quite the bad rap that it got. I mean, it's literally been buried in the annals of horror history, right? Because it doesn't really fit any mold, and there are some flaws to it, but people are missing out on sort of the great chunk of the movie that does talk about the Black Zodiac and does have this beautiful cinematography and beautiful makeup and some dynamic scenery going on. The house itself is actually quite beautiful too, as mm-hmm. far as background scenery. Least favorite part has to be the lack of development of most of the characters, particularly the female characters. There's not a lot of depth there for any of them. Why is Kalina attracted to Cyrus? Why, you know, I don't understand a lot of the behavior of some of the characters that are minor characters. The daughter and the son disappear for a significant amount of time, and we don't know why.
Yeah, where'd they go? Who the fuck took them?
Who tied them up and put them on the pedestal?
Yeah.
Like, where? I honestly don't know. Like, none of us do, because we don't see their perspective.
And was the library fully protected from the ghosts? Because they were in there, and they were just like hanging out reading books and telling backstory, and I'm just like, is like, they could have just stayed in there. Like, everyone could have just stayed in there.
I thought that often too. I'm like, why didn't they all just stay in a room that didn't seem to move and had guard spells around it? Mm-hmm. And it would have been fine. Nobody would have been in.
But then we
peril.
wouldn't have a movie, so.
Right. So which is why there are kids in this movie, to wander, because children wander. That's the point of children, I guess. whatever. So the least favorite is sort of where they had all these opportunities to do so much and they missed the opportunity. Like Doug said, the lack of exploration into the Black Zodiac characters. Like, each one of these characters has their own storyline, and you'll never know it just by watching that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to go searching for the storylines. And they're actually great to read, I think. They're quite fun to read about and think about, which is why I've sort of maybe given this movie more credit than perhaps it deserves upon first watch, because I did take the time to look into the background of it. But that's fine, you know. I mean, I can still enjoy it.
Well, this is where you get to tell people what score you gave, and then, you know, we can kind of compare. We'll review notes, and we'll start with you, because you loved it so much. We don't want our scores to offend you.
Well,
or influence your score.
Because part of loving something is also being critical of it, right?
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. books, movies, so.
Kevin,
people.
Yeah. Right. Wait. Being too agreeable now. What?
So we do our scores out of five. I think you remember from last time.
Yes. Yep. I would give it I'd go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and round up and give it a 3 out of 5 stars.
Wow. I was not expecting that.
Because I'm aware of its faults. But if anybody ever wants to write a book based on this, because that happens sometimes, The Fifth Element, its book was written after the movie came out. Mm-hmm. Fine. It's badly written. Don't read it. just watch the movie. But if anybody wants to write the book of this movie, I feel like it would be a really good read. So I feel like there's all the building blocks of a great story there, you know. And but yeah, it has some faults.
So. Let's pick Doug.
I'll agree with the 3.5. It definitely had stuff that I liked, and I remember it fondly from when I originally saw it. An interesting fact that I read about on like IMDb, because that's where I read all my facts about movies. It said that like the sound design and the way that they did the makeup and they shot the movie was intentional to make you uncomfortable constantly.
Huh.
And like that the sound design and stuff was
the soundtrack's
literally
overly loud, right?
Yeah,
it's designed to be excessively loud.
And like just the jarring noises and the glitchy ghost effects and all that stuff were intended to keep you literally uncomfortable. That was, they wanted you to be immersed that way. And I thought they did a really good job with that. Cause even watching it now, it was just like, this whole movie, like, and which kind of led into like the whole, like, I'm already frustrated with kind of these lack of story and kind of the stupid decisions people are making. So I feel like it really amped up those feelings of aggression towards that too. But I thought that was really interesting that, like, it was specifically done in a way to make you uncomfortable.
The quick, like, shots of the ghosts and stuff, too, I've actually gone in and slowed some of that down. Dennis's visions, I've slowed them down to take a look at what he... Because some of them go by so fast, you can't see them.
Stop it. No.
And and it's just more of the scary
cinematography. Yeah, that's why I would not do it. Like, I saw those already, and I was like, nope, don't care for that. Don't care for that at all.
Did I tell you, I met Greg Nicotero a couple of years ago at Star Wars Celebration. I should have asked him about this movie. I was too busy talking about Walking Dead to ask him about all of his other projects that he did. But, yeah, he was at Star Wars Celebration. It was really cool. Just walking the floor. I was like, holy shit, I know you. You don't know me, but I know you.
Kev, what's your score?
My score, I was already dead set on giving it a 3 out of 5 after watching it, because I was like, it's not perfect. I mean, it's not a bad movie by any chance, but with all the story elements that you guys have talked about this, that's just not enough is really panned out, or at least not enough is explained. So it's, if I had to rate it on story, it probably would have been like 1 or 2 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
But with the visuals really helped this movie, and I would say 3 out of 5 for me.
Okay.
The visuals were awesome.
Fair enough.
They were.
I will give this also a 3 out of 5. I think we're all pretty
unanimous.
Yeah, I think we're all pretty on the same level. Like Kevin said, I think that the makeup design, everything really bumped my score up for that. It's not a terrible movie. I'm just echoing pretty much everything that you guys said. It's not a terrible movie, but it's also not without its faults. So
I think I could probably wait another like 15 years before I watch it again.
Aw.
Oh,
damn.
Whew.
Well, fine.
Oof.
Well, I own it. If you want to watch it,
me too now. So it's fine.
Oh shit. Okay. We'll go around. Also, okay. So listen, I have one more recommendation before we leave. I've been trying to get Doug to add this movie for the last 4 years, but it's not on Netflix.
Dead Alive.
Dead Alive.
Yeah,
have you seen Dead Alive?
Dead Alive.
It's Peter
Jackson. Peter Jackson.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Okay, because if you haven't, then that would be my recommendation.
That's a good one. I have a recommendation, too. Grave Encounters. Have you seen Grave Encounters?
I have seen that one.
And it's by the Vicious Brothers? It's
what a
sort
name
of,
to
I
get
think
into
it was
horror
an indie
with.
Film initially, and it's another mockumentary where it's meant to be it's meant to be a series of a TV show of people, the team wants to create a TV show like Ghost Hunters or Ghost Facers or whatever, and they go into a psychiatric ward, a haunted psychiatric hospital, and it does not end well. And it's sort of got a Blair Witch-esque thing going on, like they set up cameras because they're going to capture paranormal activity, and everything goes to shit, and it's bad, and it is scary. I mean, I was like, this is probably going to be crap because it's an indie film and it's, you know, on Netflix, and I just scary. It's legitimately scary. And it's, you know, kind of guerrilla style filming does that well. So if you want to be freaked out, that's a good one.
Awesome.
And it has a sequel, but I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen the Grave Encounters 2.
All right, so we will at this point ask Doug to let us know what next week's film is going to be.
Well, the other two I had picked out, like, they're both fun movies, and like, I know you guys wouldn't watch them otherwise. It's like, that's kind of also the point, is like, to watch some stuff that we haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. I think Kev's already watched Hush.
Yes. Mm. Awesome movie.
Good one. That's actually very artistically done, too.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
One. Really impressed by that movie.
And the other one is Holidays, which is one of those anthology movies where a bunch of directors direct a bunch of short, like, scary shorts about around the holidays, and it's weird and it's good. There's like some really good short, like, little films that are like awesome, and there's like some really fucking weird ones, like, but nothing like too gory or gross. Some that are really creepy, but like nothing like, I don't know, I liked it. I at the end of it I was like, that wasn't that bad.
This is recent, and it's got Kevin Smith as one of the directors.
Uh-huh, and his daughter is in one of them.
Nice.
Cool.
Awesome. Mm. All right, well, that's our show for the week. I hope that everybody enjoyed it. We had a...
Did you decide what we're watching?
Oh, did I thought it was Hush. I thought we were doing Hush.
We can do Hush. We can do Hush, and we'll end on Holidays or whatever.
Okay. Are there five weeks in this month?
Well, we could, because otherwise we record on a Sunday and we release on a Wednesday, and then we have like nothing for like until the next Monday when Halloween is. I figure we'll do one more movie, record on Sunday, release on Halloween.
All right.
Sweet. Hush is a good one because it's the first of the series that could truly happen. Like, it's a real...
Oh, no, I don't want to watch this then.
No, you need to see
No. See, I'm a kind of guy who I like fake horror. I don't do like things that can really happen, because
it's
they freak
one, dude.
Me
it's
the
so
fuck
fucking
out.
Good.
Really good.
It's really good.
I think we all know what our rating is going to be.
I guarantee he's not going to make it through it.
I can't wait for you to stream this next Saturday morning, because you're going to piss yourself.
He's going to need people around to watch it, because like
it
on
also,
his own.
Yeah, it plays into the insecurities of human beings losing a sense as well. So yeah, you're gonna. Mm. Yep.
Fuck. Okay. Well, Hush.
I gotta make you watch something that's actually scary. Like, I have to do it once.
Okay, Hush it is.
You've been let off easy. So far, we've watched Young Frankenstein.
Yep.
Can't wait.
Cabin in the Woods and 13 Ghosts. Like,
can't wait.
Yeah, something. I mean, at least it's not making you watch, like, The Ring. I screamed out loud the first time I saw The Ring.
Oh my! My back hit the fucking chair. Like, I was leaning forward, like, oh man, this is so. Nope.
No, I screamed audibly when the horses jumped off the back of the steamboat and got chopped up in the paddle boat. Nope. Do not ever want to watch again.
All right. Well, next week we do Hush. I'm Jeremy.
Yes.
And I'm Doug, and I can't wait.
I'm Kevin, and I can't wait to watch his reaction more than the movie.
And I'm Windrus, and I can't wait to talk about it.
Bye.